Blog Talk Radio.
So you can go over and see what he's doing, because we're going to get into what he does, because it's very, very essential to what's going on out here. And we want to make sure that we always lead y'all in the right direction, because that's where we want to be.
Right.
So my man, Velvin Jester,
what's going on?
Yo, it is a pleasure to have you in studio.
Appreciate you.
Without a doubt, man.
I heard I was the only person you ever had on the show. I think that's true.
Other than when my sister popped in one time, you have been our consistent in studio guest. I wish I could have you with me every show.
It would be a
beautiful thing. But so what we going to talk about today? As you know, we're going to talk about the question of whether black men are intimidated by strong, independent black women. Strong, independent black women. Mm. What comes to your mind immediately when you hear strong, independent black women?
First words that come to my mind is like boss chick. You know, chicks that consider themselves a boss. Mm. But, you know, independence means you want to be by yourself to me, too, as well. You feel what I'm saying? I'm an independent. You know, that don't mean you're necessarily a team player. You're all about self-driven. Mm-hmm. You're very ambitious, mm-hmm. which can be good and positive and negative to being, you know, a strong, independent black woman. But first thing that comes to my mind when you say independence is you want to be by yourself. You're not a team player. I'm independent.
Right.
You know, I don't work good with teams. I work good alone. You feel what I'm saying? So when you have that type of mentality, I don't think people are necessarily scared of you or intimidated by you. You already giving off the vibe that you want to be by yourself. Or sometimes people think an independent black woman is that type of woman that the strong with their, you know, not their emotions, but strong with their feelings and their attitudes to the point where they express themselves in an aggressive manner. You feel what I'm saying? They express themselves aggressively, and they take, some people think that is, this is being strong.
Right.
Because being strong, a lot of times, most bullies that appear to be strong, they're really weak because they're hiding something. They're hiding some type of insecurity. So you put on that strength as an armor, you know what I mean? And a lot of times, black women have to be, you know, stronger than they needed to be, especially through our history, through slavery, Jim Crow, and all these things. So,
without a doubt,
you know, it's developed a certain criteria for women to be in these days and times, to look strong, to look like a boss chick, because a boss, you know, she's not going to afraid to be a bitch.
Right.
You know, she might have to fire you. She might have to talk greasy to you to get a point across. She might not have to talk nice and pleasant the way they think women should talk. So that's what comes to my mind, the first thing I think of. Strong, independent black women. It's positive to negative to everything. So, you know, but definitely, why would you be afraid of them? Like, I don't see that part. You feel what I'm saying?
Right. Well, it's a funny thing because when we talk about the word intimidation, many times the word fear comes to our mind. But intimidation really doesn't necessarily mean fear. It means an alert. It means it sends off a signal like a hesitance, like, wait a minute, I need to investigate this a little further.
Right.
Like, you know, I see you doing some questionable things. There's some questionable behavior going on.
Right.
And I want to see if, I want to make sure that this is a safe space before I make a move, or before I commit myself, or before I link up, or before I move forward with this. So, you know, sometimes we have to break down some of these terms and make sure that we're even talking about the right things or the same things. And because when we don't do that, we start going down the same rabbit hole of miscommunication that we've traveled down as a people time and time again. And that's what we want to do. We want to start getting some a better understanding of exactly how we feel about each other and what we're actually doing here. So, you know, you said something interesting about how independence means that you don't want to be, be with other people. You don't want to be inclusive. You don't want to build bonds. You don't want to, you don't want to be social, kind of, or you don't want to
just
be
by definition of the word, independent. You know?
Right. Do you think a lot of women who call themselves independent, do you think that they take that notion into consideration? Do you think that they are looking at themselves as giving off that energy of not wanting to be inclusive, or do you think that they think it's something else?
I think it's something else.
Okay.
It seems somewhat hypocritical because you say you want to be independent, which means by yourself, but at the same time, you want to be in a relationship.
Right.
A committed relationship.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to say, well, I'm independent.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, independence means you by yourself.
Right.
You're not working as a team with your husband or your lover or your friend or your, you know what I mean, your significant other. You're more thinking about yourself.
Right.
And your self needs and your self-assessment more so than the group assessment and what we should be doing as a team or as a group. So it's like a conflict of interest in words. Like it doesn't even sound correct to me.
Right.
Independent.
Right.
Black woman, because no one can be independent.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We all need each other. So how can anybody just say, I'm just going to not deal with anybody else, be independent, I'm going to work alone, and then think at the same time when it's time for us to come together for one common cause, you can easily do that.
Mm-hmm.
You already setting a barrier that I'm independent.
Right.
Y'all do what y'all going to do, but I'm going to always focus on me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when I hear them and they mix it in with the relationship part, it almost sounds like you want to be the leader.
Right.
I'm going to make all the decisions. All decisions come through me. I'm independent. You feel what I'm saying?
Independent.
Right, right.
That's an interesting spin on it, and I think there's definitely a lot of accuracy to it. And, you know, what I think is interesting about when I've heard black women, and first of all, let me start by saying I take issue with the fact that this is a black thing. I never hear, you know, anybody saying that, you know, white men are intimidated by strong, independent black women or strong, independent white women or strong, independent Hispanics or Asians. Or it's always
a black thing.
You know what I mean?
It's always.
And, trying to say that the black man is nothing but a scaredy cat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be out there portraying this what they call it, hyper-masculine image, but at the same time, we pussies when it comes to our women. Really? Okay. Well, we're going to see about that, talk about that, get into that. But the other thing is this. When we start talking about women who say that black men are intimidated by strong, independent black women, we're also looking at them make a complaint. It's a complaint. You know, because a lot of them are saying that, listen, I want to be with my man. I want to be with my black man. But because I have a good job, because I have a decent career, because I'm a single mom, because I've had to do the things in the absence of a leading partner, you know, he doesn't want to be a part of that. He doesn't think that he can bring anything to the table. So he's scared to get with me. I don't know how much of that is true, but I recognize that it's a complaint and a concern with them.
Right.
And I'm talking about the ones who are compassionate enough to look at it that way.
Right.
I'm not talking about the ones who openly want to be like, yeah, y'all can't, I can do everything that y'all can do. I got it going on. Y'all ain't got it going on. Mm-hmm. Look how much you make. Look how much I make. Look what I'm doing. Look what you're doing. You know.
Right.
So we have to sort of filter out who wants to be down and who doesn't. So are we speaking the same language? That's one question. But are we heading towards the same direction? Mm-hmm. That's the more important thing that we need to concentrate on.
Right.
You know, so we have to find out who's down, who's not or whatever. Because with many of these women that I've heard say that black men are intimidated by strong black women, I don't see them necessarily trying to date outside of their race. I don't necessarily see them trying to, you know, be homosexual. They're not lesbians and stuff like that. Right. But they are kind of saying that, and it can be looked at as an excuse. The reason why I'm by myself, or the reason that I haven't linked up, or the reason that I'm not happy or progressive is because I can't get what I need because I have this energy that scares all the boys. My milkshake ain't bringing the boys to the yard. Well, they ain't staying in the yard. They come to the yard.
Right,
but
right.
Then, you know, they open the gate and flee.
Right.
So what are we doing collectively, you know, to address this problem? Do we even see it as a problem? You know what I mean? You know, I don't know if enough of us are even looking at this as an issue, because I could consider this to be more than a social issue. This is a cultural issue we're talking about here.
Right. And you said a key thing too. You said that it's mainly in our community we have this conversation.
Come on, man.
Caucasian men and women don't have this conversation. Hispanic people don't have it. It's always in our community. So I think a lot of times when people overlook, there's a gender war that's been going on in our community, and there's never been a time in American history that I can remember, you tell me if I'm wrong, where they promoted black love. They promoted the family to be strong, because if the family is strong, then it's hard for you to break them down and break them down as a people. They knew that the thing that we always had was strong black families, you know, back in the day, strong, you know, that stayed together, that, you know, that worked together, you know, and nowadays, we're weaker because there's not strong black families anymore.
That's right.
And they know that. And there's never been a time in American history, whether it be the music, whether it be because a lot of times, a lot of those people who was promoting love back in the day in music and stuff like that, they was looked at as, you know, being threats to society.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the Panthers having the love enough to give free food, the Black Panthers, to children. That was a problem. Mm-hmm. So anytime that we can show any strength in a family structure, it's not kind of allowed. It's not promoted, I would say. It's not encouraged. Through slavery, they broke the families up. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, they would send one part of the family to this plantation on purpose.
Right.
So you couldn't be around your brothers and sisters. So you couldn't know who your mothers and your fathers were. After that, Jim Crow, even the housing authority laws across the country, you couldn't have a man nowhere near the house in order to live here and get free rent or discount rent.
Yeah.
So that's a policy in America.
Mm-hmm.
In order to make black people weak, you have to make the family weak.
Right.
You feel them? And as long as the family weak and there's no one teaching the children, even from a masculine perspective and a feminine perspective, you're not going to be balanced.
Right.
And anytime there's imbalance, there's going to be disease, there's going to be destruction, there's going to be things that you're going to have to deal with. And I think it's designed like that because there's never been a time in the history. Look at the music now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the shows now. They don't promote black love.
That's right.
They don't promote us being together. They don't promote, you know, one thing. And I don't want to bring up Bill Cosby, but I'm bringing it up for a reason. One thing I couldn't understand with everything that he went through is why they was trying to take the Cosby Show off. Because that was the only show that showed, okay, this is a doctor, this is a lawyer. Hey, they live in Brooklyn. They got a brownstone. This is a family. They got family ideas. They eat together. They communicate together.
Uh-huh.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, in order to make black people weak, you have to make the family weak.
Mm-hmm.
And whether people say, well, is that a conspiracy or is that something they're doing on purpose? To me personally, it seems it's always been a plot. And to make the woman stronger than a man has always been a plot because they know that's not in the order of nature or society. Mm-hmm. You know, for any of those other races when we were talking about the strong, independent woman, the man is still the man in the household. But it's questioned in the black community. Who's the leader in the household? The person who makes the most money? Is it the male? Is it the female? And I think that's done strategically, just in my opinion, you know, the way I see it.
You know that something that happens once can be a coincidence.
Mm.
Something that keeps happening consistently.
Right.
It's either a system, a plan, or something. You can call it whatever you want.
Right.
But just like you outlined throughout slavery, which is our history,
mm-hmm.
There are plans to keep us divided, make sure that the family never forms. That way it doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
We can't roll over generational wealth. First of all, we can't generate it. We can't generate wealth.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we have a distrust for each other because our bloodline, our community lines are all messed up, all jacked up. So I don't know. I don't know if I can. He ain't from around the way. He ain't down.
Right.
He ain't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you know, they have introduced and fostered all of these divisive tactics among us. My question is: have we picked up the ball and started to do it ourselves?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
yes.
It gets the problem gets deeper and deeper.
Right. We're actually doing it to ourselves now because it's a program.
Right.
Once you program somebody to do certain things, you don't have to keep on programming. Once the program is in, then it's already set.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's going to be set to go. So a lot of the things as far as our behaviors and the things that we get from our environment outside of us is teaching us to be independent. Even not just women, just everyone, we're not together as a family. Everybody's going to be independent.
Independent.
You feel what I'm saying? How do you divide something? You conquer. When you divide something, you conquer it.
That's right.
You make it weaker.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's together. No one's coming together for any common cause other than when there's a social media challenge or something silly or when there's a party. But far as to get over the issues that we are going through, that we are being systematically attacked by, because whether people want to admit it or not, they use silent weapons for quiet war. This is a quiet war. The quiet war is not to keep black people together. You feel what I'm saying? Not to keep the family together. It's man, woman, and child. If I can weaken that, you will never grow. You're never gonna, like you said, not only get any generational wealth, you're never gonna own any land, be able to pass it on. That's generational wealth. You're never gonna be able to, you know, foster some of the ideals that families used to have. Families used to have their own ideals and way they cook their food, ways they communicated, ways they stayed together, you know, customs. You don't have that because the family's broken up. You feel what I'm saying? So there's, like I said, there's never been a time that I ever remember where they promoted black love, black families being together. And I mean in the outside culture,
mm-hmm.
because they have a lot of things in the outside culture that teaches us to be divided.
Mm-hmm.
They teach us to be, like I said, by yourself.
That's right.
Think just all about you. Think about you.
Uh-huh.
Focus on you. You feel what I'm saying? And they teach the black woman that.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be the one that goes to college more so than the black male. That most black males are either going to die or
mm-hmm.
go to prison.
Yep.
So you want to have to be by yourself. But the thing is, what you tell your mind is what happens. So if I can program it for you to think that you're independent, you're going to start acting independent, and every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. You're going to get independent women, and it's not going to be strong families. It's going to be independent men, independent women, only thinking about themselves. And a savage is a person who thinks about themselves. You feel what I'm saying? That's a savage type of behavior to me. Because a savage is like an animal that only thinks about himself. He only thinks about what I need.
Right.
Instead of what the community needs.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
And all they do is, a savage, all he does is consume.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So, you know, this is really good stuff because I'm thinking, like, when we start talking about the independence, you know, so many things out here are promoting us to just think independently. Like, I'm going to get mine. You know, even with a lot of our leaders, or you could call them leaders. I call them leaders.
Right.
Okay. Because they definitely have, you know, strong, expansive of followings and things like that. But
mm-hmm.
even they talk about, you know, we're going to have to leave people behind. We're going to have to leave people behind. But then when you see wherever they're going, they're fighting them amongst themselves.
Right.
You know, and they get caught up in the same things that we're supposed to be leaving behind, you know, asking for too much money, stealing from too much money, getting caught up in sexual scandals and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's the same thing. So who are you leaving behind?
Right.
You know, it's just like when we were slaves and we ran from the plantation, where did we run to?
Right.
We didn't run to freedom. We ran to another kind of racism.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you went from the chattel slavery to the mental slavery.
Right.
And that's where we are to this day.
Right.
Now, a lot of us don't believe that that's where we are with it. But there's no denying it as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so all of this independent stuff, yeah, it looks good. You see some of our multimillionaires and our billionaires, almost all of them that
mm-hmm.
we think of are in the entertainment industry.
Right.
But you see what they're doing and you notice how they're not a representation of the socioeconomic structure that is the majority of us, but these are our glaring examples or whatever, and it's not working for us. The same way that we talk about black men being intimidated by strong, independent black women. Well, I see we have some callers on the line. We're gonna address the callers, answer the callers by the in the order that they requested to speak. And for everybody listening, first of all, I want to thank y'all for coming through the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm here with my man Belvin Jessup, and we're talking about, are black men intimidated by strong, independent black women? If you would like to be a part of this conversation, we invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Press number 1, and that will let us know that you would like to speak, and then we will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. So with that being said, call it with the last numbers 4828. Thank you for holding, first of all, and welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So to answer your question, I don't think that black men as a whole are intimidated by the strong, independent black woman. I don't. I will say this, that because you guys mentioned earlier about the independent woman plot, right? Mm. I agree with that. However, I think we have to remember that when the independent woman plot started, they did not factor in black women.
Mm.
They didn't. Okay, mm. I don't believe that they counted on black women becoming over time the most educated in this country.
Right.
But with that education and the push of the independent woman came partly out of necessity, you know, with less of our men being in the household, but also partly out of, in my opinion, just from observation as a woman and women around me, like a power play for some women, you know.
Okay.
I don't need you. It started going further than I don't need a man. It's like I don't need you at all for anything, I don't think that we realized that we were pushing the black man further out of the house by doing that. You know, we knew that our men focused their value on what they could provide for their home. So by saying I don't need you in any way, they started going. Well, you know, outside of the race, for other women who seemingly were more submissive and compliant to whatever it is that he wanted to do.
Right.
And now you have those same women, some of those same women saying, I can't find a man. But they haven't, like, retaught themselves how to fully incorporate, you know, the black man back into a healthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this glorification of the independent woman, you know. I don't know.
Well, you know,
it's a lot.
That word. Let me ask you something about that independent thing. Because on some level, we are all independent. You know, we're all independent until we are either dependent or until we are, you know, joined with somebody else. You know, so it's sort of like we're working with what we're working with until we can work with something better, more desirable, or something more favorable, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I don't get offended when I hear black women say that they're independent or when they say that they're strong. My thing is show and prove. Show me what you got. You know what I mean? If you have to tell me that you're strong and independent,
right,
that already lets me know something. You know what I mean? So maybe you're trying to make me see something that I didn't visually recognize right off the gate, and that says something also. But the red flags don't go up when I hear that sort of thing. More of a signal of the struggle comes to my mind when I hear a woman, you know, describing herself as being strong and independent. Because to me, it's sort of like a cry for help. It's sort of like when we say things like, you know, the struggle is real out here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but we kind of call these things into our space at the same time. And I don't know if we realize that, you know, but so when I hear a woman saying, you know, I'm a strong, independent black woman, it's almost like saying, I don't know if you're ready for this because others haven't been ready for this. Are you ready? Because just know that I've had to do it by myself for a long time, and I'm doing it well, but I'm not happy. That's what I want you to know. I'm not happy, and I would like for you to make me happy, but I can't tell you that I would like for you to make me happy until I make sure that you qualify financially or in a responsible way to make me happy, because I have these parameters, and I have these guidelines that have been set by others that I'm feeding into as well.
Right.
So, you know, are you ready to come in here? You know, I'm like, so like I said, I'm not offended by it, but I can understand how other men would be. And I can understand also on the other side how some women, you know, I understand a lot of their frustration. But let me ask you as a black woman, you are black, no?
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, all right. So let me ask you this. What is your definition of independence and strength? You know, what's your short answer, or however long you need to describe it? What would you say if somebody asked you about being strong and or independent?
Okay, so the short answer would be, I am strong and independent. And when I say that about myself, I don't know how the women, I can only guess or just tell you, share with you what I've heard, but for me, it's being self-sustainable. That's what it is for me. I do agree in being able to build with someone else. However, I believe that charity begins at home, and I can't, I prefer to build with someone else with having certain things about myself intact prior to getting into a relationship, so that when I come, you know, when I bring myself to the table and everything that I have to offer, that you know that that man knows that, you know, my foundation is very strong already.
Okay.
So that's what it means, you know, to me and for me.
Okay, that's independent. What about strong? What about strength?
Strength comes on different levels and in different ways. You know, I draw strength from my children and my love for my children. My view of myself and what I know I can do, the mark that I want to leave on the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's subjective.
Okay. Well, one of the things I think about when I think about the word strength, I think about endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Endurance. You know what I mean? The ability to be able to hold up against things that may be stronger than you, or that may challenge you, or that may throw you off a little bit. You know, things that not necessarily try to weaken you, but things that may cause wear and tear on you over time. You know what I mean? That expands into not just psychological things and physical things, but also even mechanical things. You know, you want a car with a good engine. You know, something that, as long as you keep it oiled up and keep routine maintenance on it, it'll last for hundreds of thousands of miles. You know what I mean? So it's a strong engine, you know. And I was thinking about something when we were talking about independence. And one of the things I was thinking about is independent. It kind of means that you're alone.
Right. That's what I was saying in the beginning.
Yeah. You're alone. You're by yourself.
Does it mean that you're alone or that you can function alone if necessary?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is,
she broke it down. She's talking about being self-sufficient.
Right.
Having a strong foundation and being strong, because you got to be strong for your children.
Right.
So your children don't need to see you to be weak. So you got to be strong
yeah.
for them. So I like her definition. But at the same time, like you said, when you want to be, you want to be self-sufficient, but at the same time, you want to be able to be a team player. And when sometimes mm-hmm. we think independent, that doesn't say team player. That means I.
Right.
You feel what I mean? And
right.
we. You mm-hmm. feel what I'm saying? So just the word. But, you know, the thing about the English language is words are tricky. They have multiple mm-hmm. means. Sometimes you can use the wrong word for the wrong things. And it's nothing wrong. Who wants to be weak? Nobody
right.
one wants to be weak. So if a woman says she's strong, then that's great. But at the same time, like you were saying, it made me think of earlier, a person shouldn't have to say they're strong. You're going to see their strength in their actions and not their
right.
words.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if it's a guy yeah. saying, well, I'm a tough guy, well, why you tell me that?
Right.
You feel
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And a woman saying, well, I'm strong and independent, I'll be able to see that
mm-hmm.
in you being self-sufficient and you being able to carry yourself and know how to act at home and abroad and pay your own bills and things of that mm-hmm. nature. Like, you know, I'll be able to see it versus you telling me that. But at the same time, you want, like you said, a self-sufficient partner. You don't want someone that depends totally on you.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You want someone that, you know, they have their own things going on in life, so they won't be so preoccupied with what you got going on. They got, and then y'all come together for one common cause, which is the family. That's just how I see it. You know what I mean?
But, you know, y'all dropping, in my mind, y'all dropping a lot of jewels right now. You know, there's a lot of building going on here. I don't know how the wheels are turning in a lot of people's minds, but I'm hearing a lot of stuff, because like when I was talking about being alone as far as being independent is concerned, you know, when I think about the word independent, and then if I think about being alone, you're alone because you don't have anybody to depend on. Mm. It doesn't mean that you don't want to make the crossover.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I'm independent because I have to be self-sufficient. Right. I have to take care of myself. You know, now that's not to say that when somebody else comes along, I won't lean on them, ask for their help, you know, try to come together, you know, build a little bit more, get a little bit, be independently dependent on each other. You
right,
know what I'm saying?
Right.
It can mean that, listen, by myself, I can hold it down. Now, when the rest of the team
right.
gets, when I build my team, then we're going to be dependent on each other. Because I think everybody is probably independent on some level and also dependent on many levels also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all come into this world dependent, you know.
Right.
You know, we come in naked. We can't talk. We can't communicate. We can't. You know, we have to learn. We have to start from the even lower than the grassroots level. So we have to be taught how to do for ourselves. And as we become adults, there is this thought that now we're grown now, so we should be able to take care of ourselves. We should be able to do everything for ourselves. We should know everything. And that's just not the case. You know what I mean? We're always going to meet people who have different ideas than we have and have done things that we haven't done. And we can incorporate what they bring to the table into what we already know, and we can also give back to them.
Right.
But when we as black people, we have this thing where we have been put into this space where we have to be willing, and not just willing, but we have to promote doing everything by yourself, because niggas ain't going to help out, because niggas ain't going to be there for you.
Right.
Niggas ain't going to be doing
They're
nothing but hate.
Support you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because right. we can't come together for anything.
Right.
We never unite, which is untrue. We just seem to be united for the wrong things. Bloods and Crips are united. You know, Vice Lords and Gangster Disciples and all that kind of stuff.
We can be united to do the wrong thing, but can't be united to do the
exactly.
right.
Exactly. And even mm-hmm. when we do the wrong things, we're not totally united.
Right.
You know, they
right.
be respect tripping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
but if you can come together for one thing, for one time, you can do it again.
Mm.
And we've shown examples of when we can come together. We've had the Million Man March. You know, much of that energy has fizzled out. But remember, the original premise behind the Million Man March was to go back to your communities
right.
and give back.
Right.
You know,
right.
it was a day of atonement.
Right.
Many of us have gotten away from that. You know, I mean, it's too much ass shaking. It's too much. It's too much dick pics. It's
mm-hmm.
too much. You know, we're getting into too much of the negative side of our social nature.
Mm-hmm.
We're not coming together to get together to do something decent.
Right.
And we're demonizing people who are trying to do that. At the same time, that we have too many single family households, and that's not a knock on any women who are out doing that, but they're raising their babies independently because the men aren't there for whatever reason. Whatever reason your personal situation warrants, that's what it is. But my big concern is that there's been this label put on black men and women, so whereas now the women have had to be the head of their households, and we're going down the way of
not inviting men to come in and help out. And that's a problem. That's a problem. Because women complain about having to do everything, and they shouldn't have to do everything. But at the same time, it's like, well, I can't bring just any man in here, you know, because he ain't ready. You know, his mama ain't raised him right. He ain't, you know, he's not responsible. I don't even know if he's safe to be around my girls. I got, you know, there are issues here.
Right.
You know, so when I think about black men being intimidated by strong, independent black women, but, you know, I see it as one thing, as a blanket statement, but individually, I don't know too many black men who don't like what they see as a woman who has that swag, who has her shit together,
right,
who's doing well for herself.
Right, right.
Yeah, I see them being very inviting towards that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these.
So it must be something else once that man and that woman get by themselves that keeps them apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just, I think I'm a strong black woman. It's reasons, like, even in any form of relationship, we're hard to come together, like, to agree to learn how to disagree, you know, in a positive manner,
mm-hmm.
without breaking it apart, or I ain't messing with you no more, I'm gonna
yeah.
block you, or I'm, you know, we're quick to let each other go,
mm-hmm.
and not work on the issue at hand. Because you always think, well, I'm going to find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be someone else out there. There's a rich guy somewhere out there waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in your mind. So dealing with what I deal with, you know, with the subconscious mind, because I'm a hypnotherapist, you got to be focused on what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
The past is an illusion. The future is an illusion. It's all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on right now? How am I going to work with this person and have a household
mm-hmm.
that's going to work? Like, how are we going to get down to the core problems that, you know, you might have came with some emotional issues. I might have came, but how are we going to fix those things
right.
so we can stay together?
Right.
Because a lot of times it's not just finances that keep black people apart. It's we just can't get along.
Right.
You know, and I tell people this all the time, just in regards to any type of relationship, because even if you move your favorite cousin in, your favorite friend in your house, it's hard just to live with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're independent and you've been living by yourself for so long, now to live with someone and live in the same space at the same time,
mm-hmm.
that alone has to be worked out. You feel what I'm saying? Because you're not independent anymore. I can't just think about me
right.
and my socks are on the floor or
right,
my dishes
right,
are
right,
in the
right,
sink.
Right, right.
There's other people here now.
Yeah.
I got to worry about, you know, some people, they get in the, I see some couples getting the fights because they don't know what to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be a fight sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to eat? That's a fight. Or
yeah.
keeping the temperature, a certain temperature in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it hot. Some people like it cold. And then you can break up over stuff like that, because then
mm-hmm.
other things that come out and things
yeah,
are said
yeah,
and,
yeah.
you know, other emotions come out. So learning how to, what they call nowadays, emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Having emotional intelligence to be strong, but at the same time be able
mm-hmm.
to work in, as a team.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not just about me anymore. So it's taught.
Mm-hmm.
It's taught to us to be individualistic. It's
right.
taught. It's a whole form, and I tell people this because I deal with psychology. It's a whole form of psychology called behaviorism.
Mm-hmm.
Behaviorism is basically how to control a person's behavior. They make it sound fancy. They call it behavior modification.
Yeah.
But who are they to decide how you should behave?
That's right.
They teach you how to think, how to feel, and behave.
Yeah.
And people don't even know that this form of psychology is embedded in commercials, is embedded
mm-hmm.
in media, it's embedded in everything that we do. So a lot of times when we can't get along, it's because we're trying to find somebody else's ideals of,
mm-hmm.
of how we should get along.
Exactly.
You know, who should be this and who should be that, instead of it being natural. We're trying to follow a script a lot of the time.
That's right.
And that's where I think we get caught up, because, like I said in the beginning of the show, like, there's never been a time where America has promoted black families to stay together.
That's right.
It's more profitable. It's more feasible for the black family, especially, to be apart, because then you can come into
mm-hmm.
the community, have your own, you know, there's no black-owned stores. There's no black-owned family stores.
Mm-hmm.
There's no black people working together. Everybody's thinking independent. So
mm-hmm.
that's just my take on it. How, you know, it's a war. It's actually, to me, it's a gender war.
It absolutely is. And we can't afford, mm-hmm. we can't afford to fight this war. Yet we're doing it, and things they seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. But I would like to shout out to all of my brothers and sisters out there that are fighting against this, because there are many of us who recognize what the problem is, and how the system is trying to get us to follow this narrative even farther and farther. However, you know, even with the ones who recognize what's going on here, we have a greater obligation to try to circumvent this systematic practice that's taking us down. You know, we have to get the word out. You know, we have to make sure that at every single turn, we're talking about coming together. We're talking about being together. We're talking about trying to work it out.
Right.
We're talking about compromising. We're talking about, you know, making sure our kids understand, like, listen, this is the direction that we need to go. You know what I mean? I understand, you know, what they're trying to, you know, the narrative that they're trying to push in the educational system, social media, whatever the case may be. But just like at any other time before social media, we as the adults and the parents, we had to teach what was real from what was fantasy. You know, we had to show our children, like, listen, everything that you see, everything that you read is not necessarily going to apply to you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Some people from some cultures can do things that you're not going to be able to do. And you need to understand that.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you can't make a way, because you can. But you're going to have to understand that that may separate you temporarily from everybody else who's following along with what they're saying everybody can do. You know, like when they say, if I can do it, you can do it. Nah, come on, stop that.
Right.
You know what I mean? All men are created equal. Maybe physically, but we sure get separated after the creation.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right,
the
right.
direction that we go in is definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I want to go deeper into this whole intimidation thing. Because what I don't hear talked about enough is what can be done to these black men who are supposed to be intimidated by these strong, independent black women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have to be able to offer something better than stop being scared, or, you know, get your weight up, or, you know, step your game up. No, we need we need to identify exactly what the strengths are and what the independence is. And then we need to identify that in each individual. And then we need to find out ways to be able to come together. Now, we know that regardless of how intimidating a woman might be physically, like, she might be the baddest chick. She might not only be beautiful, but she might also have her business straight so much that that's intimidating, and she hasn't said a word. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So he can be naturally intimidated by that, the same way that a woman can be intimidated by a man who seems like he has it going on or whatever. But the thing about it is, everybody needs somebody, and we need to understand that. You know, how many beautiful women have said that they have trouble you've seen them hooked up with dudes that was ugly or something like that. It was like, well, the other dudes, they ain't step up.
Right.
You know, this cat, you know, he came through.
He shot a shot.
You know what I mean?
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
I started liking him. The next thing you know, I was in love with this ugly cat.
Right.
But he's not even really ugly. You know, he just... You know, his confidence, his swag, and all of that wasn't intact. So I helped him out with him. I kind of built him up, and he also smoothed out some of my stuff. You know what I'm saying? So if there's a way for us to come together, now I bring up that situation just because we know that when we want something bad enough, we don't allow ourselves to be swayed away by fear. Like, look, I got to get this.
Right.
We do it with jobs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, look, mm-hmm. I need a career or whatever that pays this much money.
Mm-hmm.
I want this house. When it comes to, you know, they talk about our purchasing power as black people. We know when we want a Benz, we'll find a way to get that Benz.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? We might not be able to keep it, but we'll find a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we put that same energy into building our families, building our relationships, stepping our love game up? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, the possibilities are there. Mm-hmm. They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
What is the point where we say, all right, well, I've had enough of this. You know what I mean? I'm out of here. It's okay to find out that, yeah, outside of the beauty, outside of the independence, I don't really think I like her. You know what I mean? We're not really all that compatible. Like, I don't like the stuff. I don't like the way she acts. She could say the same thing. You know, like this brother, you know, kind of has it going on. But, you know,
right.
You know, he's a little shallow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, he's a little, he succumbs to pleasures of the flesh a little bit too much, and that can go way farther than just booty shaking and strip clubs and all of that. When you succumb to the pleasures of the flesh, that has a lot to do with your finances and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So, but it's okay to find out what you like and dislike about a person and make a determination about whether you want to go forward or not. My problem
is. I have
a
question.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you guys think that there are some black men that use the strong, independent ideal as an excuse to not step their game up because they know that with certain women, you know, who have an independent spirit, that they can't just come with just any old thing, you know? So do you think that some black men use it as an excuse to not do more for themselves so they can present themselves in a better light when courting that woman?
You want to take it?
No, go first.
Okay. Yes. The short answer is yes. You know, change is hard. You know, change is hard. It's just like when people are at jobs and they tell you in order to keep this job, you know, you're going to have to integrate these new techniques. This is the way you used to do it, and this is the way we're doing it now. So you either step up and gravitate towards these new procedures, or we want to start filtering people out. That's it. It's just like if your job told you that you're going to have to get a degree in order to move up and make the kind of money you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the decision about whether you're going to do that or not, or whether you're going to go to another job that will pay you, you know, what you want to be paid for, what you already bring to the table. You have to make a decision. So, yeah, I know that there are plenty of men out there who don't want to do what they're supposed to do. I mean, think about all of the men out here who are making excuses for not paying their child support or for not being there to support their child, you know what I mean, or their children. They're not there. And it's every, you know, she won't let me see my kids. Okay.
Right.
All right. That may or may not be true. But if it was something else that you wanted, like you found another baby mom, so if you found another way to have another child by another woman, you could find other ways to be able to connect with the child that you had by the other women that you had before the ones that would let you do whatever you want to do. So yeah, it's definitely an excuse that some men use.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true sometimes? Maybe so, but it doesn't work for us. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to you'll exhaust all of your resources to determine whether you can have it or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think some men are doing that.
Because out of dissatisfaction brings change. When you truly dissatisfied with something, how something is going, a certain behavior, that's when you change it. Because I'm dissatisfied. I've had it up to here.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take it anymore. That's when you change. That's when Ike left Tina. That's when Tina left Ike. You feel what I'm saying? She couldn't take it anymore. She was taking it for a while, but after a while, it was too much.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So the sister on the line, she said the key word, excuses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not self-motivated, so they'll use anything as an excuse. The white man is holding me down, or she can get a job and I can't. They'll use anything as an excuse not to push themselves to the next level. That's just the type of a person they are. And then they, you know, opposites attract. So sometimes a person who's highly self-motivated will attract a person that's not highly self-motivated. Mm-hmm. And that person will use that as an excuse not to reach their full potential and just keep on saying, well, is this and that, and that's the reason why I can't do this and that. And they haven't truly become dissatisfied enough with their condition. And then when you, you know, have someone that's a breadwinner, that's not you, and you don't have to do nothing, they're allowing you to lay up and play video games and, you know, as some people do it and do nothing, then you really going to be, you know, stuck in one place. And you're not going to even be thinking about moving to the next place because you think you got it all here. And a lot of times, you know, it's self-sabotage.
Yeah.
You know, people have to watch what they say to themselves, because what you say to yourself, your subconscious mind immediately starts to work on.
Absolutely.
So if you say, I can't get a job, it's hard out here, I can't do this, you know, and make all these excuses, like we were saying, for yourself, you're never going to make it right. Or even in a relationship, making all these excuses, well, I can't change the way I am. You was building on change. Like, anything that doesn't change dies.
Mm-hmm.
You have to constantly be ready to change. Because if you're not ready to change and think, well, I got it all now and I don't need to change, then there's no growth. You know what I mean? So,
look, our cells, the cells in our body die and regenerate every day involuntarily.
Right.
So nature understands change has to happen.
Right, right.
So we can fight against it all we want. But, you know, my brother, you know, you talk about the power of the mind so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that is missing so much in our community, I believe, amongst our people. Being able to fix your mind to stay the course and be consistent enough. Like you talked about dissatisfaction causes change.
Mm-hmm.
Through hypnotherapy, have you been able to get people to be dissatisfied consistently enough to keep the change going to where the change becomes real? Because it seems like it's easy for us to get on the ride, but it's hard for us to stay on the ride.
Right.
You know what I mean? Long enough to be able to get to our destination.
Right.
So can you expound on your experiences and maybe even some techniques with your hypnotherapy that we could incorporate, you know, into our personal lives, to whereas we can get it into our communal lives, so we can start to do better for ourselves?
Well, like, the change starts from within. So one of the first things is acknowledging that there's something that you need to change. Mm-hmm. Most time people are in denial.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person comes to see me, they already know and have in their mind, I'm going to pay this man to help me with this certain thought pattern or a certain behavior that I'm exhibiting, and I want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So the change starts with you first. As I always tell people, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. You put yourself in a trance to be miserable. You put yourself in a trance, whether you know it or not, to feel helpless and hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you looped it in your mind that I'm helpless, I'm hopeless. So however you said it to yourself, so you have to reprogram your thoughts. In order to reprogram your thoughts, you have to penetrate what we call the subconscious, because the subconscious is where all your behaviors and your memory come from.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, like I said, a person comes to me and they're ready to make that change. They just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So I guide them through the process. And one of the best ways to reprogram your mind, just to give out a technique, is repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you do over and over again becomes a part of you.
That's
positive or negative.
Ugh.
You feel what I'm saying? Yes. So if you talk to yourself negatively, like I said, over and over again, now that becomes a part of you. Now that negative things are going to happen because those are your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
Because intentions are everything. And the same thing goes with positive. That's why people should use affirmations, things they say to themselves, oh, I can do it. I'm getting better every day, each and every day, each and every way I'm getting better. I'm doing better. You know, I'm striving for perfection. You feel what I'm saying? And a lot of times we self-defeat ourselves
So change always comes from within. If you want to change something, you have to acknowledge it first. And a lot of times I think people don't acknowledge why they can't. Like, people go through multiple relationships. You done been through 10 relationships in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, these men are intimidated by me. They just can't get with me. They're not on my level. No,
right,
maybe
right,
it's something
right.
that you're doing. You, what they say, when you do something over and over again and expect a different result, that's insanity. You're
mm-hmm.
going to get the same result because you're exhibiting the same type of behavior. You feel what I'm saying? So in
yeah.
order to change something, it starts in your mind first. And that's how I'm able to help people with so many things, because whether you call it a placebo effect or not, it's your mind that fixes all.
Mm-hmm.
It's your mind that puts you in this situation. It's your mind that introduced you and made you attracted to this dude that ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep on attracting these ain't shit niggas, and
mm-hmm.
you think they're, yeah, they wasn't shit, but why are you attracting them?
Right.
Why did you let them in?
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a behavior pattern and a subconscious program that you have to reprogram. Because
mm-hmm.
whether people know it or not, like I told people in a video that I posted, love is a trance. Hate is a trance.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Being happy is a trance. Being depressed and sad, you're putting yourself in a trance. In order to break that trance, you have to connect with your subconscious and tell your subconscious, like, I want to change this.
Right.
I'm dissatisfied with being, you know, because one thing I was thinking about through the conversation with the sister and a beneficial things you were saying is that they teach us to be alone, but where's the love? You can have but so much love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need, a human being needs to express their love, meaning share love.
Right.
You know what I mean? With other people in order for you to feel human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's one thing, like I said, you got to love yourself in order for you to love anybody else. But when you're not loving anyone else, when you're just totally alone, no one wants to be alone.
That's right.
You know, I hear people, that's the reason why some people say they got married, because I don't want to die alone.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. That's you know, you feel what I'm saying? So
really?
even a baby, like, if you don't give a baby enough affection, a baby will have, like, physical issues
mm-hmm.
from not being picked up and held.
Absolutely.
You know, so people,
absolutely.
I hear people a lot of times, you know, people lack intimacy. They lack they lack love and affection
mm-hmm.
in our community. And what happens when you lack love and affection? You're going to show, on the opposite scale, you're going to show violence.
That's right.
You're going to show, you know, you're not happy with yourself
mm-hmm.
because you're not loved.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants, that's a common thing for humans to be loved. And just dealing with the chakra system, the lower chakra, which is the root chakra, that deals with your adrenal glands. And your adrenal glands is where your stress, your cortisol comes from.
Absolutely.
So if I keep you in a stressful state, you're not going to be able
that's
to
right.
cohabitate with anybody because you're so stressed out.
Right,
and
right.
you can't work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They make it very hard for black people to be together because we're living by someone else's ideals, or you should have this and you should have that. And by the time you're 30, you should be this and you should be that. Or by the time you're 40, you should be. No, life doesn't work, especially in the world that we live in, where we're constantly, whether we know it or not, we're under attack. They don't want us to be together as a family. They don't want us to feel any love. They want us to stay in that root chakra where we're at that point where either we're fight or flight.
Mm.
And in psychology, you know, that's a low frequency, low vibrational state to be in. So, you know, it's we just got to have our ideals. It's nothing wrong. I say this all the time, and maybe the people might not agree with, but it's quicker for a black woman to get a job in corporate America than it is a black man. Because
that's
they would rather have a black woman, you know, around them more so than a black male, because a black male, especially an alpha male, he's going to intimidate them. You feel what I'm saying? He's gonna, you know, and in order for men to be strengthened up, we need our own corporations where we're hiring our own people, but we've never had that. We still only control 1% of the wealth
mm-hmm.
in this country. And even with all the couple of billionaires that we have, it's still just 1%.
Right.
So the things that keep us not together in relationships, they're designed. It's a system. You know, it's a system to me. I don't see, other people might not see it. And if you don't see it, then I'm not going
to
argue
hard
with
for
you.
Them to see it.
But it's a system that,
mm-hmm.
that keeps us not together, that keeps young men feeling that they need to be over-aggressive and go out and shoot another young man that looks like them, or teaching our girls to be independent but shake your ass. And it's just the culture that we live in. We don't control the things that we live by.
Right.
It's behavior modification.
Mm-hmm.
They've modified our behavior so we won't come together.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And that's just how I see it, you know.
Listen, this man said they make it hard for black people to be together.
It's hypnoworks.org, too.
Oh, oh my bad.
But you good. But you good.
Yeah,
they make it hard for us to be together in all aspects. You know, they don't want us to be together because if we're together, then they can't do what they've been doing to us for mm-hmm. so long, which is controlling us. You know, colonization. They conquered you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In order for you to stay conquered, the family has to be weak. And that's just the way I see it. You feel what I'm saying? It's just,
absolutely. I mean, but that's such a strong statement, you know, with them not wanting us to making it hard for us to be together, because it's crossing over into us making it hard for us to be together.
Right.
You know, now we're making excuses, or we're
right.
creating reasons
right.
that we cannot be together.
Right.
You know, and we're talking about gender, man and woman. We can't move forward without the man and woman coming together. I don't care how much LGBTQ, how much gender modification. Listen, it has to happen between the man and the woman. We cannot afford to try to change this thing around or try to modify it to the point where it's unrecognizable. We have to get back to, listen, the black man needs the black woman. The black woman needs the black man, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether you want to go forward or be a part of it or not, it's going to happen. It's just like the sun mm-hmm. rising in the east and setting in the west. You ain't going to be able to stop it. It's a law. And real laws cannot be broken.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, all them other policies, yeah, you can do whatever you want to with that. That's man-made. But the things that are made and bound by nature, we're going to follow suit. So with that being said, you know, the power of the mind, you know, I want to stay on that for a while. And sister, you know, if you want to chime in on any of that, or ask Belvin about what he does, because like I said, he's a well-known up-and-coming hypnotherapist. And I've seen, if you go to hypnoworks.org, you will see trials and with people that he has worked with, and he's doing really great work. You know, when my dad was alive, you know, he worked with Belvin. They worked together, and you know, they were really into this thing. I consider both of them to be amazing.
Appreciate it.
It's what we need.
Rest in peace, Mr. Mac. The show is dedicated to you,
yeah,
Mr. Mac.
Brother Mac was true.
I was knowing Omar for seemed like 20, 30 years and never knew that his father was a hypnotherapist until I became a hypnotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I was in Philly, I had a chance to do a session on him, and he did a session on me because I don't let everybody do a session on me. He was the last person in. Just amazing, and wealth amount of information,
mm-hmm.
mentor. You know, he told me one of the illest stories. He learned hypnotherapy when he was in the services and on a battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
He used to use hypnotherapy when cats was wounded and they was waiting for the medic to come. He would be the person to come over there, relax. They're going to be here soon. Get them to relax so they wouldn't go into shock and things of that nature. So that was just amazing. You know, he put hypnotherapy in a whole different perspective just by telling me that story of being on a battlefield but having to perform hypnosis on people to prolong their life. So I use it in a different ways. One thing I was going to talk about briefly was just subconscious programming, and how when you're in a relationship, a lot of people are not aware of this, but you're in a relationship that the beginning stages of the relationship, you're in a trance.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. When you just met somebody, you all in awe of that person. You can be on the phone with them for hours, and it seemed like you'd be on the phone for an hour and a half, and it seemed like 30 minutes because there's time deprivation. There's, mm-hmm. You know, the time has gone fast. You'd be so in tune and in thought with that person. You're thinking about them all day.
Yeah.
Sometimes you mm-hmm. might not eat if you didn't talk. It'll have physical. Mm-hmm. So you have to. We have to find a way to keep that spark, that original spark going, in order for the relationship to be prolonged. Because like I said, a lot of times people break up because they don't know how to interact with each other. It's not mm-hmm. taught. They only teach us how to interact with them and go out in society and get a job. But no one has ever taught us to get along, but they spent so much time making sure we're divided. They spend so much money and time over the years to make sure that we are not united as a people. And the first and a part of community is unity. You can't have a community without unity. So if I want to control this community, I have to make sure that the man and the woman is divided. And then what happens to the child? The child is the one that becomes alone and independent, because every child wants to know who their mother and their father is. If you take that away from them by not allowing them to interact and see how the two people that made them interact with each other,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be hard for them to interact with someone in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's a system. It's a cycle.
It is.
You know?
It is. That's why this independent talk, it doesn't work for us. You know what I mean? And when we start believing that that's all that there is, this is all we're working with, it becomes a really, really bad problem. But it's really just a communication problem. You know, I don't want to overemphasize how bad it is, and I don't want to diminish how important and how serious it is either.
Right.
You know, but we have to understand exactly what we're working with. At the end of the day, we want to be together. We're just looking for the most harmonious way. One thing that we haven't talked about as far as this topic is concerned, when we talk about black men being intimidated by strong, independent black women, is, you know, there are some men out there who think in terms of, yeah, I need a woman to need me. I need to be the breadwinner. I need to put her in a position where other men won't be attractive to her because I'm providing for her more than anybody else can. You know, on the surface level, that's not a bad strategy. But it's going to pigeonhole you into an area that's going to be easily conquerable. There's always going to be a man that can make more money than you.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, so, you know, it kind of takes me back to the mental condition of us thinking that we can buy our way out of this condition.
Right.
You know, we hear conscious brothers and sisters always talking about, you know, once we get our money right, whatever, you know, then they'll do whatever we want them to do, and they'll have to recognize us, and they'll have to.
But you're using their money.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't. Well, we have to realize that we were money.
Right.
We were physical money.
Right. First
you know what I mean?
On the stock market was
straight
us.
Commodity.
Right.
Commodity.
You sell us like a bag of sugar.
What? Like this
with
is
a carton of eggs. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And drive and all that kind of stuff. So we can't buy our way out of a mental condition.
Mm.
It won't work.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The only way out of this is by more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding.
Mm.
We have to get with each other, make sure that each one teaches 100 of us, you know, in the same way. One of the biggest problems that we have in our community is that we don't have a common goal. I can't think of one thing that black people want collectively.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Other than money.
We don't even agree on that. You know, so now this isn't an independent condition of everybody else. I'm not sure if all white people want the same thing. I'm not sure if all, you know, Hispanics, whatever, want the same thing. But it doesn't matter what they want. For our community, we see the effects of us not being able to make collective decisions. We see where it gets us. And it keeps us down, worse and worse and worse. it's a spiral down, and it's like, it's like a black hole. We don't know how deep it can get. Right. All we know is that we keep going lower, and the perception is that we're climbing out of it in some kind of way, you know, because we have black politicians, we have black wealthy people and stuff like right. that. It's not representative of us on Main Street, as the politicians like to say.
Right.
So you know, we have to do a lot of work to make sure that we understand each other. And sometimes I think it can be as easy as saying, listen, baby, I like you. I want to, we say it when we kick in game, I want to get to know you better. Mm. Well, we got to mean that shit.
Right.
And we have to understand that getting to know somebody means more than knowing what they like and what they don't like. We have to know how what they like and what they don't like incorporates into what we can give to each
right,
other
right.
And actually spread out to the rest of the family, community,
mm-hmm.
and our world.
I want to know, one of the things that I look for in a woman is to know how you're going to act in a stressful situation.
Mm.
Yes.
Like, okay, you can be the most prettiest, you can have the best sex, but when is there like a real stress, are you going to lose your mind, are you going to, you know, have a severe temper tantrum? Are you going to, you know, how are you going to act in a stressful situation? Because that's going to
mm-hmm.
determine whether or not I can be with you or not. Because in life, there's going to be stressful situations. So how are you going to act? You going to curse them out? Are you going to, you know, you're going to tell the people at the restaurant, I'm going to blow this whole sucker up, you know? Like, how do you react? And you know, dense, you know, situations, you know.
No. You know, what are the ways?
Well,
can I say
something about that, though?
Hold on. I'm gonna let you speak in just a second. I just want to say this one thing. One of the ways you can speed that process up is send a mouse into the room.
You know what?
Put a mouse into and
whatever.
You know, it seems like I'm joking. You find out what a person is made of when they can't escape. When you can't escape a situation. See, with a mouse, we can run, but the mouse is running too.
Right.
What happens when you close a room and you can't get the mouse out
right.
and you can't run either?
Right.
Now what you gonna do?
Right.
One or two things is gonna happen. You're either going to pass out from the fear or you're going to learn how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can take that same concept and put it with each other. You know, we got this thing going on out here where it don't take this many years to get to know somebody, to know if you want to marry them or be with them and blah, blah, blah. And my cousin, my aunt, my brother, me, I knew my husband for 2 months, and we got married. We've been married for 15 years. I'm like, that sounds like the same thing as, you know, my grandmother ate pork and smoked cigarettes, you know what I mean, every day. And she lived to be 124.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, but how many peers did grandma have? You know what I mean? You notice you never hear you say that about granddad. You know what I mean? He checked out at 52. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to get that out there. So go ahead and rock out.
I'm sorry. No, all I was going to say was that for some of us who can describe ourselves as strong and independent, we would do so when asked. Like normally I wouldn't say I'm a strong, independent black woman. I don't go around doing that. But just for the sake of the subject, I did mention it initially. But when I mention it, it's so that the man that I'm interested in knows that, hey, if there's adversity, I'm not going to fold. I'm not going to crumble.
Right.
You know, I'm used to holding my own. And so I want him to know that, you know, I'm coming to the table as somebody who's ready for battle if necessary, you know. That's somebody who can stand with him. And I'm just piggybacking off of something that you guys mentioned earlier. Like, if things go left, are you going to fall apart and, you know, act out?
Right. And what I was thinking about too was when being strong and independent black woman goes wrong. I'm gonna give y'all an example. Let's say both of us in the car. We in Ohio or somewhere. Some country cop pulls us over. Mm-hmm. I got a strong black woman in the car. Mm-hmm. So he comes to the window. He's asking for license and insurance. What you pull us over for? Because she's strong. She's independent. She wants to show her strength. This ain't the time to do that. Let me handle this police officer the way I'm going to handle it so we can go about our business without you being strong. Because sometimes people misconfuse strong and independent with how loud and you'll curse somebody out. And
yes.
I won't take that from, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to know how to master your emotions. This ain't the time to mouth off at the cop.
Like, this ain't a good time for neck roll.
Be strong and independent. Let me handle the situation. You feel what I'm saying? And that's what I said, a stressful situation. You got to know how to handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to add that.
it's an actual fact. We have to clearly define what strength and weaknesses are. Piggybacking off of what you, off the example you just gave, I put a lot of stock into women who will allow men to have conversations and dealings with each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion, when let's say you're out in the same situation that you were talking about, a similar situation, I should say. You get into an altercation with another man, you know, y'all having a discussion, argument, or whatever, you know, you can't have your woman in the background like, yeah, man, fuck him, and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, because that can escalate it to the level where not only does her man have to do something, but now the other man has to do something too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, so you black men have to be able to work out their differences with each other. Because it can't always end in bloodshed and gunshots and court cases and funerals. It can't be that way. We already know how to do that. What we need to learn how to do is be able to come together, work out our differences, agree to disagree, or move forward regardless of what the disagreement is. And our women have to be able to allow us to do that without getting overly involved. You can be supportive, but make sure that your support is not the same as interference.
Mm.
Men have to be able to do the same thing. You know what I mean? I can't get involved in my woman's trials and tribulations with other women. Like, man, fuck that bitch. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's why, you know, remember, she fucked your man in. You know, nah. I'm here for you if you need me and when you need me, but I'm going to let y'all go ahead and work that out because that's more estrogen than I should be involved with right now, you know? So, but we have to learn these things from each other. And if we can learn from each other in our frustration and disappointment, we can also learn from each other in the positive things and the life-giving things, and you know that we can give to each other, and we have to start being able to recognize that.
Yeah.
I see that we have another caller on the line. Caller with the block number. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Yeah. Hi. Sure. Look. Great show. I've listened to you a while. You kind of jump around, but that's fine. Look, I think some of this concern you have regarding the independence, I think as a man, as a successful man, women should use that independence to show themselves fit, friendly, feminine, and, of course, faithful. So I think, you know, there's no model for dating and having a healthy relationship. But people can establish one if they choose to. Now, I'm over 45. What a lot of younger men under that age and a little bit older, too, who are looking to start families, they're going to other countries where there is a tradition of appreciating and respecting men. But I think American women are, as a group, are not going to give up that power. They're just not. A few of them might, but they're going to maintain that. You've heard the old adage, power concedes to nothing but power. And so with men exercising their options, men of all ethnicities, because American women are pretty much American women. And so with them going, like I say, other places, South America, some places in Europe, even the continent of Africa, and they're finding women who they don't have to arm wrestle with to fall in their, I'm going to say, somewhat natural order, or at least a workable order. So it's not going to work with most women here. They're going to say, go to hell, they have bad attitudes, they're mean, they're not fit, feminine, friendly, or faithful. And so they're just not going to buy into this. Now, this is my observation from listening to many, many people discuss it, and, of course, interactions that I've had on my own. But go ahead. I know that may be a mindful, so...
Well,
what you think about that?
This show is strictly about black men and black women and their ability or inability to be able to come together. So in that context, what is your experience with black women? Have you found them to be, and we can say American black women, have you found them to be resistant? Have you found them to be belligerent or whatever? What is your experience?
Yes, all of the above. But look here, I would like to, if you don't mind, I would like to go to the essence of the issue rather than just dealing with it superficially. American women are American women. They use the legal system the same, and that's another problem too. The legal system supports men. It's kind of like a life judo chop. Or move, where it uses men's resources against them. It uses the leverage. So women initiate about 70 to 80% of divorces. And I understand that when they have a college education or some college education, it rises to 90%. So our American system incentivizes women to leave the relationship. That's why they do it. So I think you can put this color on it, but that's not the real essence. The essence is American culture. American culture is the same throughout. Go ahead.
Now, I agree with that because you made a good point. Women from other countries don't have the same ideas and values that are taught to women in this country. So a lot of times the way that people act is because of the way that you were taught to act that way. So a lot of times, you know, we have problems coming together is because we're taught not to be together in this country. We're taught to both males and females to be independent, I think. More so, though, in other countries, they promote family. They promote us to stay together, so they have behaviors and cultural ideas that promote those type of things. But here in this country, I think it's different. There's a promotion of independence. You don't need each other. It's all about self. You know, in this country, it's all about competition. We're competing against each other from high school to the point where we get out of high school for jobs. So it's always competing, and teaching our women here to be strong is because, you know, one of the reasons they got to go out in the job market and compete against men and know they're not going to get paid the same and things of that nature. All the things in America, just going to your point of women in other countries, they don't have the same issues that we do here in America, is because of the things that we are taught by the dominant society. We don't control what the media wants to put out, but the media always has an agenda, in my eyes, on how they want people to think, feel, and behave. So I think it's just American phenomenon to a certain degree that males and females have a hard time coming together as families, especially black families.
Well,
right. I would like to respond to that, if I may, to the host.
Hold on. Before you respond to that, I need to reel this thing back in, because there's a difference between the American white woman and the American black woman. I'm not even going to ask whether you agree with it or not. That's just a fact. So when we talk about going to other countries, or when we start talking about other ethnic backgrounds
when we start talking about other cultures and other places. You know, we have to take into consideration when we start talking about Americans, we're not all talking about the same thing. You know what I mean? What some Americans can do is not the same things that other Americans can do. There are some Americans that were written into the Constitution, and there were other Americans that were written out of the Constitution purposely. And those things, and those that energy still exists here. So there's a reason why Black is put into the title of this show. And we're going to stick to that. So if you're going to talk about Americans on this show, this particular show, you're going to talk about Black Americans. If you're going to talk about people from other ethnic backgrounds and or other cultural backgrounds and from other countries, you're going to have to talk about the dark-skinned people there. You're going to have to talk about the Black people there. We're compartmentalizing this. So what you got?
Yeah, well, look here. We can actually compete in the Victim Olympics, but we can also go to Chicago and other places where people who look, who have the same skin hue, will take a loaded weapon, point it at each other, and pull the trigger. And that includes pulling the trigger on kids. So what I'm saying is we can attempt to isolate if we want to, and that's fine. That's fine. But we need to understand there's much more sameness here than there is difference. And let me say this about women. Women could easily resolve this problem if they choose to. Now, a lot of us men don't have an idea of what women should be doing either. But let me just say this. All women have to do is just start smiling at men, initiating conversation with men, which opens up the opportunity for relationships, and just being fit, feminine, and friendly. Femininity would take a lot of the battle out of the issue, totally, because a feminine woman doesn't struggle with a man. She doesn't have to, and she knows it. So the thing is both men and women need to sit down if they want to, and that's the whole thing. A lot of us Americans are mean. We're very mean. And I think it comes from a lot of internal self-hatred and this kind of stuff. And I don't put that on anyone else because a person is responsible for how they behave. So I would say all women have to do is initiate with men, be feminine, smile, have a conversation, and that way they could evaluate men juxtaposed to getting with the low-life men. There are always going to be low-life men and low-life women. But a lot of the women prefer the low-life men. They don't like the good men. They call them boring. They call them simps. I was listening to a show just recently, and it was said that any woman that wants a man, any, could have one, and she could have a good man that loves her and is loyal to her. But she doesn't want that, and science backs that. A woman is not often open to a man smiling at her. She feels, oh, why? I could get him. I want the man who treats me like crap. And so it's going to have to be a re-education. But again, I don't think women will give up their power, even diabolical power. They're not going to give it up. So men are going to have to go other places where the women are much more traditional, and they're cooperative. That's a huge issue with women not being cooperative. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
what happens when there's a woman who is compliant, submissive, cooperative, feminine, fit?
She enjoys a good relationship.
And she engages with a man who initially, you know, the relationship starts to flourish, but as soon as he is no longer financially on the same plane, the relationship goes south. Do you think he's intimidated by the her financial independence?
Absolutely not. That is a ridiculous assertion. Most men have more
question.
Money than
that
women.
That wasn't an assertion, but.
Well, most men have more money than women. And most women want men's money more than they want the men. Because Because if you listen to a conversation between men and women, which I do, a stray, strange woman is always expecting a man to provide things for her, whether it's free dinners, free meals, this kind of stuff. So she's coming out the gate, as they say, expecting remuneration from a man who isn't hers. She's not willing to really work with the man and get to know the man and then establish a relationship. So that's the problem. Women are choosing the worst men, and then they're complaining about it, and most men and women are too stupid to hold women accountable. That's a problem.
So.
Hello?
So.
Yes.
Once again.
I'm listening.
Once again, what we have a problem here, is the idea, we're making blanket statements about a blanket gender, and we're not identifying the problems in our community. I don't know how many times I have to explain this to you. I'm not talking about all women, and I'm not talking about all men. That's the reason why the word black is put on the title for this show. So when you say men make more money than women, you're not talking about the black community, and that's the problem. Because
yes, I am. Yes, I am. Go back and check your stats. Men across the board make more money and have more savings than women. Period.
Black men?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Always and forever.
Okay.
Wow.
I think you need to go back and check your stats. Because
I check my stats, sir.
Hold on, sir.
You look at the griot. I study all different ethnic groups, but let's look at the griot. The griot says
you gotta calm. You're a little spirited. Yeah, I gotta calm you down. You know, you can't listen to just respond, sir. You know, you have to listen. I've given you your chance. Every time you call into the show, I give you your chance to speak, but you can't.
Well, he's a repeat caller.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's not.
But also, he actually didn't even answer my question as it was presented. You know,
I didn't know if you noticed that.
Yeah. No, I noticed it, but I was being quiet, acting to the point where he actually said hello. But yeah, I was. I was listening. I wanted to listen to what he had to say in full. But unfortunately, the question that I asked was not answered as it was presented to him. But I asked that question for a very specific reason, because just from my own personal experience, I have been told that I was intimidating to someone, not because of anything that I did, or anything I did personally toward them, but just because of what I have, all the things that I have together in my life. And that was, that challenged that person, that man, to do his own self-assessment and ask himself, can I bring myself up to wherever she is in these areas of her life? And can my ego sustain itself as I'm trying to do that? And that is something that a couple of people have told me during honest conversations. And one of those people was my ex-husband. And if he's listening, my ex-husband and I were married 20 years. So he was the third top real estate agent when we were dating in the state of Pennsylvania. So he wasn't a slouch. I wasn't a slouch. We came together. It was like power couple time, But then unfortunately found himself falling on financial times, and I said, I got you, And his ego took a hit. There weren't anything that I did in particular to make him feel castrated or anything like that. It was just how he viewed himself as far as the head of the family, and that's why I was asking him that question. Is there a possibility that, someone could actually be intimidated under certain circumstances? And he is blanket, in my opinion, making blanket statements.
Well,
he wants to talk about Americans. I understand,
right.
but
as it's about Black America, and then Black America, as far as my stats go, Black men don't make more than Black women because Black women is the most educated class, so they're the ones who go out here and get the jobs. Most Black men are either dead or in jail.
That's
so how we make more money.
There's no way. There's no way.
Right. But let's be clear. His description of Americans was not incorrect. His description of Americans was not incorrect.
Americans, yes.
You know,
right.
Yes. However, I was glad that you reeled it back in to focus on Black Americans. It's a whole different our challenges are different, whether he's experienced that or not. His experience may be different, but as a whole, what we have to deal with is different than the average of American.
Look,
it just is.
Before I muted him, he said something about the griot. I'm like, okay, all right. So we going a little too liberal. Hold up. Yeah, man, we can't get Joy Reid up in this. All right, anyway. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to bring the caller back on. This show is going to be 2 hours in a minute. We can't do that. You know what I mean? we can't. But I will say this. I will say this. I like the way we built it. It started to climb. You know what I'm saying? I think the longer we went, the more attention that we started to attract. And I think we started to mentally and psychologically start to work these things out. This is a communication issue. It really is. That's what it boils down to for us, a communication issue. And it's one that has to be addressed. We have to keep it going. You know, it's not going to fix itself.
Right.
This is not the common cold. We can't get some Andy, ibuprofen or some acetaminophen and think that it's going to go away. You know, we can't Robitussin,
right.
NyQuil or Theraflu this thing away. Alka-Seltzer Plus.
We got to acknowledge the problem.
We have to find the root. And then we have to diagnose the problem
as a people,
right? And then we have to start treating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're treating it in one way, but we're also letting it go in many other ways. We have to find a way to get on the same page, get on the same track for longer than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or however long. We seem to come together for a candlelight vigil when a white officer kills a Black male, and we come together for that, but we have to be more proactive in our love, our unification, our communication, and our determination to make sure that we go forward with each other.
Mm.
Let's do these birthday shout outs. We have some birthday shout outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious January 14th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-A-R-S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-A-R-S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-A-R-S-P-E-C-I-A-L. Number one out the box. Let's see, what's that? Shea Formations, happy birthday to you. And also Tamika Willis, turning 40 years old today. And also Latanya Putnam, happy birthday to you. And Providence Ridgeway, turning 54 years old today. And Royal Bad, turning 41 years old today. And Haya Zia, turning 37 years old today. And Venus Rising, turning 52 years old today. And Lavanya Scott, turning 59 years old today, and Nicole Singleton, happy birthday to you. And my man, since all the way back to the 1982, my man Stephen Allen, go get a Stephen Allen, turning 53 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares his birthday on this glorious
happy born day.
That's right, January 14th, anywhere out there in the world. I hope that today finds you a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on it. Do the dance. Dance. Rock out. Rock on. the damn rock out the block on it. Do the damn thing, do the thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen.
Oh, just ask me where's your co-host located. We gotta tell them where I'm located real fast.
I got to make sure that you make sure that everybody knows. Matter of fact, why don't you just go ahead and do that? Make sure that they know where to find you and how often.
I am Belvin Jessup. I help people get rid of anxiety, negative thought patterns, and behaviors through the process of hypnotherapy. I've been doing hypnotherapy since 2014. Also, I'm a Reiki master, neuro-linguistic programmer, practitioner, which also deals with reprogramming your subconscious mind. So any issues that a person may have, everything starts in the mind, even pain management I deal with. I'm located in Greensboro, North Carolina, but I travel around a lot, California, Philadelphia, East Coast, West Coast. I come to you. I host events to help people reset themselves, get their chakras aligned, change their frequency levels, go from a low vibration to a high vibration. So I do a lot of things with meditation and breathing techniques and subconscious programming. I could be reached at www.hypnoworks.org. As also at Belvin Jessup on Instagram. You can look me up on Facebook, TikTok, either Belvin Jessup or HypnoWorks. So just reach out to me if you ever in need of these type of services. But a lot of things that Omar talked about on the show that we have as Black people have issue with starts in our mind, starts with what I don't want to call them generational curses, but a lot of times that's what they are. They come generationally, things that we need to reprogram our thinking so we can have productive, healthy relationships. Not only with our significant others, but with our children, our families, our communities. So that's what it's about, reprogramming your mind, changing your frequency, getting up on knowing what your chakras are and the different glands and what they secrete, and helping people out. So, you know, I do all this without medication. Mm-hmm. So definitely holler at me if you're interested in my service. I'm very good at what I do. Mm-hmm. Not to toot my own horn, but very good, get very good results. And it's all about helping the people. So. Get at me, www.hypnoworks.org. That's the website. And I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all those platforms, YouTube as well.
Give me a YouTube channel.
Hypnoworks.org is my YouTube channel.
Okay.
Same as the website, hypnoworks.org is my YouTube channel. Belvin Jessup or HypnoWorks on Facebook. Look me up. You'll see some of the videos that I put up in regards to my services and how I help people using the subconscious mind and how to reprogram it through meditation and deep breathing techniques and suggestive therapy. So, yeah.
Listen, man, when you watch his videos, at first you're going to think like, you know, this ain't real. It's very, very real. You know what I mean? He's doing this man is doing some spectacular work. Trust me. You know, we're going to have him back on the show again.
Pleasure to be here, Philadelphia area. I used to live in this area. Pleasure to be here.
Without a doubt.
I'll be back. You know, I love y'all out there in Philadelphia, one of my favorite cities, if not my favorite city outside of where I'm from, North Carolina. So I've been knowing Omar for years. So definitely holler at me.
No doubt. And so we're going to have him on here, whether in person, whenever possible, and definitely remotely. But, yeah, check out his website. Check out all of his platforms and just see what he does. And possibly he can help you. He can help all of us. You know, once we start getting into the more naturalistic approach to our healing process and our identification process, listen, we all know personally what's going on with us, whether we express it to others or not. This man is going to help you to be able to finally get to where you want to be mentally, emotionally, psychologically. You can have that man that you've been looking for, ladies. Fellas, you can get with that woman you've been waiting for your whole life. I mean, naturally, we all want that. You know, there's certain things that have happened that have traumatized us, put us in PTSD mode.
Mm-hmm.
That keep us from being able to personally advance. And not being able to personally advance is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. because it isolates you. It makes you feel like you're the only one that's going through this. And you're not. There are too many of us going through this collectively, but we can all get it worked out. And dealing with Belvin is one of the ways that can definitely help a lot of you. So make sure you get with him. All right, y'all. So listen, Belvin, it was a pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me again. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really great, man. You know, I was looking
forward to it. Good conversation. I don't usually talk relationships, but I did it for Omar today.
Hey, I was telling him before the show, I don't even look at this as a relationship. This is a cultural thing. We need this thing like air.
Definitely.
You know, shoot, people think that all you need is food and water. We need love. You got to have it. There's no living thing that doesn't have it in some kind of way, love and affection. You get it in all species. We take it to another level. So trying to deny it in ourselves is worthless and it's useless to us.
It's torture.
That's right.
It's torture.
So let's pledge to do better. Peace to you, man. So, all right, my blog talkers, let me get you out of here. Make sure y'all share this show. This show should be highly rated. They all should, but this one should reach the top. You know what I mean? So make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. Make sure that we get those likes up. Make sure that we keep the spirit of what we were talking about going, because we're going to get together one day and we're going to come together someday. Let's get started today. All right. So Blog Talk, we're going to get you out of here. Yeah. All right, and for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. Peace.